Welcome, listeners, to our lifestyle article for the month of August. We're learning how to declutter our life. Welcome back to day two. And with me, back again, are some two great panelists. Well, I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, listeners. This is Simon. I'm glad to be back with you again today.
Hi, this is Peter, and my mental health is great. Thanks for asking.
Well, then you are in the right place, Peter. But before we get into today's article, I wanted to ask you gentlemen about yesterday when you were here. We talked about decluttering your home. So we're talking about decluttering your life in a physical sense. What is something that you would like to share with the listeners, perhaps to review from yesterday, Simon?
I think the most important point for me was this idea that clutter really comes from procrastination. And procrastination, of course, means putting things off for a later time. So delaying doing things that you know you need to do. And that's really how clutter happens, because we end up cluttered when we don't make decisions to get rid of things that we really need to get rid of.
Good advice. And what about you, Peter?
I like starting small, and we all have different areas of our house that need to get decluttered. Maybe it's just a drawer that starts to overflow or something like that. You don't need to clean your whole house all at once. You can just pick small areas.
I think for myself, I like tip number four, don't worry about perfection. I know for myself, I like to think that I could make my home into something that you can see in the Home and Garden magazine. They have these perfect homes where there's no clutter in them. I love what it says in tip number four, forget about perfection and take a hard look at what and where things are piling up and causing clutter. So I know for myself, I need to take a hard look at what I have in my home and do that. Well, listeners, we hope you learned a lot, too, from yesterday's tips for your home. But today we're looking at something a little different. We're looking at the mind and how not to clutter your mind with negative thinking. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that today. If you have your advanced magazine or digital device, we encourage you to turn to page 37 and day 23 and column number 1.
Finding joy. Build a better brain in 2016. Good mental health often goes ignored. Poor mental health, on the other hand, can cripple every aspect of our lives. Stress, depression, anxiety, anger, inability to focus, or any of the myriad symptoms we might suffer can distance us from our loved ones, keep us from enjoying and performing our best at work, and prevent us from reaching our full potential. Mental health might be the most important aspect of our overall well-being, but it's the one most overlooked. Fortunately, there are books to help us. One great choice is Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. In this book, Dr. Daniel G. Amen, a neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert, outlines his theory that it's possible to change your brain and change your life. You're not stuck with the brain you have, he says. According to Amen, who has spent his professional career studying brain images from children, teenagers, and adults from more than 100 countries, many of the symptoms experienced by people with mental health issues are related to how specific structures in their brains work. Amen not only explains this phenomenon, but offers what he calls effective brain prescriptions.
Okay, thank you for that reading. And the article here is entitled Finding Joy, Build a Better Brain in 2016. Now, we open this paragraph with the sentence, good mental health often goes ignored. Gentlemen, why do you think it often goes ignored? Simon?
Well, I think usually, since most of us believe we aren't crazy, we're pretty much content to not bother thinking about other aspects of our mental health. Like, if we're not sick, we must be okay, right? That's
right.
The thinking.
What about you, Peter?
Yeah, and I... these are important issues, but we don't, unless they cause problems, we don't really think about them. And maybe we don't realize what the problems are. And I think we'll become a little bit more aware of that today.
Right. And what is good mental health as opposed to poor mental health, right? In the next sentence, we learn poor mental health, on the other hand, can cripple every aspect of our lives. What do we mean here, Simon, when we say it can cripple every aspect of our lives?
Well, when something cripples something else, basically what it means is it prevents it from moving or functioning properly. And so here, different parts of our lives can be crippled by physical problems, right? We can have an accident and lose the use of our leg, for example. But if we have problems with mental health, all the different parts of our life can stop working properly.
Right. And Peter, what does the next sentence say?
So it lists some of those things that might cripple your life, such as stress, depression, anxiety, anger, the inability to focus on any of the myriads of symptoms really can cripple your life. So stress, that can be from work, you're worrying about things, depression, that's more than just being sad once, and anxiety, that really is just worry. Ooh, these are a lot of issues we have here.
Right. And it says inability to focus or any of the myriad symptoms. What word here, myriad? What does myriad mean?
Well, myriad really just means a wide range of symptoms. And so the idea is if we are in poor mental health, we might not actually be sick, but there are a lot of different signs that things aren't perfect, things aren't healthy in our mental lives. And they've really just given us a list here of some of those symptoms, so stress and depression, being angry, not being able to focus, things like that.
Right, and we learned that these things can distance us from our loved ones. What do we mean, Peter, when we say distance ourselves?
This is talking about your relationships with people, your loved ones, you know, your family, your friends. When we talk about a good relationship, we say we are close. But when we start to distance ourselves, we share less with those people. We have fewer emotions connected to those people, too.
Mm. Good. Okay, so these symptoms can keep us from enjoying and performing our best at work. And also, what can it do, Simon?
Well, it can prevent us from reaching our full potential, which really just means becoming the best we can be. It's something that holds us back.
Right. And this next sentence I mentioned as we opened the show for today, mental health might be the most important aspect of our overall well-being, but it's the one most overlooked. What do we mean, Peter, when something is overlooked?
Oh, I like this word because it really deals with today and yesterday. Let's say you're looking for something or it's just when you don't notice something. So you look on the table, but you don't see it. Mm-hmm. It is there. You've overlooked it.
Right.
And so these are all issues or problems that we don't really notice in our lives.
Right. Okay. Well, we learned that there is a book here that we're going to talk about that talks about these issues. And oftentimes we go to books for help or to learn something new about something. Here it's called One Great Choice for Our Lives is to Change Your Brain and Change Your Life. That's the name of the book. And this is written by Dr. Daniel G. Amen. He is a neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert. Wow, that's a lot of different things there, Simon. What is a neuroscientist?
Well, a neuroscientist is someone who studies the nervous system, so the brain and different nerves in your body, things like that. And a brain imaging expert, which means he looks at different scans of people's brains.
So he really does study the human brain, all aspects, whether it's the physical side or the mental side of it. And he has a theory. What is his theory, Peter?
That it's possible to change your brain, which will lead to changing your life.
Well, he says, you're not stuck with the brain you have. Okay, well, what does he go on to say, Simon?
Well, in the next paragraph then, he tells us that basically this guy who has spent his career studying the brain says that many of the symptoms experienced by people with mental health issues are related to how our brains work or how they're structured.
Okay, and in the book, it says he not only explains this phenomenon, but offers what he calls effective brain prescriptions. Peter, what is phenomenon?
Well, this is just something that has happened or what's arising in this situation.
Okay.
So it's talking about this phenomenon of people having different symptoms related to their brains.
Right. And what do you think he means here, Simon, when he says brain prescriptions?
Well, I think basically when you go to the doctor and you are feeling ill, you hope for a prescription, which is some sort of medicine the doctor would give you to cure the problem.
Yeah.
And I think what he's talking about here is basically things you can do or things you can take, prescriptions, to change your brain or fix problems in your brain.
Right. Well, listeners, we're going to go on to our next reading now to learn more about what Dr. Daniel G. Armen means when he's talking about being able to change your brain and change your life. Let's go on to the next reading in column 2 on page 37.
Amen's Prescriptions. If you're experiencing anxiety and panic, there are simple breathing techniques that can calm inner turmoil. If you're depressed, you can try to eradicate automatic negative thoughts. Are you an obsessive worrier? There's a writing exercise that could help you settle down. The program will help you boost your brain and the brains of those you love, Amen writes, which in turn will improve everything in your life and theirs. Joy in every moment. We may feel that we are at the whim of our moods and emotions, but we have a lot more control over how we feel than we think. Sivia Gover, author of Joy in Every Moment, writes, "External events, possessions, or situations don't guarantee deep or long-term happiness, but daily commitment to feeling better can."
Okay, thank you for that reading. Well, we've been learning in the first column about a neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert called Dr. Daniel G. Armen. He's written a book called Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, and he believes that it's possible to change your brain so that you are not stuck with the brain you have. He has been studying the brain images of many different people, and we learned that he says we can change our brain through what he calls brain prescriptions. Now, at the top of column 2, we learn that he has some of these prescriptions, and he goes on to describe them. Simon, what does he say?
Well, he says if you're experiencing anxiety, so again, anxiety means worry and panic, which would be, I guess, extreme worry, there are simple breathing techniques that can calm inner turmoil.
Okay. And what does that word turmoil mean, Peter?
Oh, this is when you're in a state of confusion or uncertainty or disorder. I think disorder is, you know, it's chaotic.
Okay, good. So he's using breathing techniques to calm a person down. He goes on to say, if you are depressed, you can try to eradicate automatic negative thoughts. Okay, what does eradicate mean, Simon?
Really just means get rid of or remove. And I think it's interesting here because he's talking about getting rid of automatic negative thoughts.
Mm.
And so that's kind of a confusing thing, right? How do you get rid of something that is automatic, that happens by itself? So these negative thoughts, you know, something happens and you just sort of think a negative thought automatically. He's saying you can stop yourself from doing that.
Yeah, and I think these automatic thoughts come automatically, but it's your choice whether you receive that negative thought or reject it.
What do you mean when you say receive that negative thought, Peter?
Okay, well, let's say the negative thought comes like, oh, I'm not too great.
Mm-hmm.
And I can either believe it and say, yeah, that thought is true. I am not too great. Or I can reject it and say, no, that's just an automatic negative thought. It really doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't need to believe this.
Okay, so it's like not letting the thought settle in your mind.
Yeah. We need to eradicate these thoughts.
Okay, now eradicate is quite a strong word, isn't it?
Yeah, it means totally remove.
Right, so it's not just get rid of something or a little bit, but completely. It even says in the vocabulary focus to destroy something bad. So when we think of eradicate, it's quite a strong word in English. Now it says, it goes on to ask us the question, are you an obsessive warrior? What does it mean, Simon, when we say obsessive?
Well, it basically means you're doing something all the time. You can't stop yourself from doing it. And so in this context where we're talking about worrying, it means you're a person who is just constantly worrying. And the sort of connotation here is that you're worrying too much. So even if you really do have things to worry about, you're focusing on those things too much to the point that it's unhealthy.
Okay, and Dr. Daniel G. Amen has a solution. If you are an obsessive warrior, he says there is a writing exercise that could help you calm down. I'm sure if you buy the book, you would learn what that writing exercise is exactly. But I think this is interesting because we talked about having to deal with stress, depression, anxiety, and anger. And he is using these tips to help eradicate or get rid of those feelings. What does he go on to say in the next paragraph?
Yeah, he says, so this program will help boost your brain and the brains of those you love. So the brains of those you love are your loved ones. And he's specifically just talking about their brains, but it's more, you know, this thought is more going to, it will improve your life and can help improve your family and friends too.
Good. Okay, so we're learning some tips on how to deal with stress, depression, anxiety, anger, etc. Well, let's go on to see this next paragraph entitled Joy in Every Moment. Simon, what do we learn?
Well, it tells us that we may feel that we are at the whim of our moods and emotions. And being at the whim of something really just means you are under the control of. If they decide they want to do something, they being your moods and emotions, then you have to do it. Basically, if you feel sad, then you have to cry or you have to take a few minutes to fall apart and be sad.
Right. So here we're talking about allowing stress or depression or anxiety control you. But we're talking about how you can control it, that you actually have the ability to control your emotions, not the other way around. And this comes from Sylvia Gover, the author of Joy in Every Moment. So we're being introduced to another book on how we can control our emotions. That go on to write to say, external events, possessions or situations don't guarantee deep or long-term happiness. Interesting, but daily commitment to feeling better can. Peter, what do you think she means here?
Sure. You know, we have external events. We have dinner with people. We go to the park. Possessions, we own things. Maybe, you think a nice car will solve your problems. Or a situation, if I get a better job, that will help. These may help, but it's not long-lasting happiness. It won't solve all those problems you have. But committing to just feeling better, so kind of resolving or deciding to choose happiness and to choose positive thinking can improve your life in a deep, meaningful, long-term way.
Okay, good. And Simon, what do we mean when we say a daily commitment?
Well, it really just means that every day you choose to focus on feeling better about the things that are going on that day.
Okay, good. And so this is another tip with dealing with stress or depression. Now, gentlemen, you know, stress and depression, we hear about it a lot in the media, and that there are a lot of studies being done on it. People are becoming more aware of the effects that they have on our lives. What do you think about the advice given in this article, Peter?
Sure. I like this idea of we don't have to be controlled by our emotions. They're really important because they tell us how to feel, but it's not always right, and it's not always has to control our lives, dominate us. We can say, I'm feeling this emotion, but I'm not going to let it control me. I understand the situation.
Right. And Simon?
The thing I find interesting here is actually how many similarities there are between this day we've just spent discussing on mental health issues and what we discussed yesterday about decluttering your life. And I guess there's actually a hint of that in the deck where it said ideas for bringing order to your environment, your life, and your brain. But the thing that strikes me most, I suppose, is the beginning of each article, where yesterday we learned that clutter is something that kind of creeps up on you without you really thinking about it.
Mm.
And in the same way, often these mental problems are things that sort of sneak up on you because they're not things we think about all the time, right? And so it's a slow-growing problem that leads to really sort of a disordered situation that's kind of filled with chaos, right?
Yeah, and I feel like they are connected in other ways too. When you do declutter your life, when you get rid of things, I know that first moment I open the door of my apartment and it's a nice clean house. The tops of the tables are clean, everything's in the drawers, organized. I feel better. I feel in control rather than controlled by these problems.
Right.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you can almost apply the tips from the first day of this article to the situation people with mental health might have. Like, for example, nip procrastination in the bud, they told us yesterday. And today they're saying we need to commit every day to long-term happiness. So we need to sort of stop the problem now and stop putting mental health off until tomorrow.
Now, I'm interested to find out from you both, because we've learned from Dr. Daniel the tips that he has about dealing with stress and depression, anxiety, these things in our lives. But what have you both found to be useful or helpful in your lives to deal with these things?
Well, I think, like we were just saying, actually the tips from the decluttering article I think transfer fairly well. So again, stopping the problem early before it grows, and they told us yesterday to start small dealing with decluttering, and I think that's important here too with Dr. Amon's prescriptions. He's saying pick a specific problem you kind of have, like worrying, and then do something about that. You know, you might not want to try to apply rule number 3 from yesterday, asking yourself if you would buy it, because that might not help with your mental health. But there's definitely a lot of value to those different points, like not worrying about perfection, right? Don't focus on just being totally happy all the time. Instead, deal with specific daily issues, feeling better, right?
Yeah, for me, one of those tips is, you know, write your thoughts and emotions down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an obsessive worrier, or you have a problem you're thinking about too much, writing is very useful. Or, you know, how do you choose to deal with those automatic negative thoughts? You know, you don't have to let them control you.
Right. And so, listeners, hopefully today you learned a little bit more about how to not let emotions control you, but rather you control your emotions through the tips that Dr. Amon has given here. Perhaps you know of more tips as well that have been useful for you in your life. If you have, then we just encourage you to write into us, whether it be on our Facebook page or through our email or through our website at studioclassroom.com. Now, we also have a mobile website that you can check out on your smartphones or digital devices. And we have our Topic Talks QR code on the left-hand side of the article on page 36. Make sure you check out that to see some more videos in relation to today's article. And we just really encourage you to look at these tips and see how they can also help you to declutter your life. Well, we thank you for joining us today, and I thank my great panelists for joining me for these last 2 days as well. But for now, we need to go. So this is Amanda,
Simon,
and Peter
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.